Once again, it's nice to welcome in Dr. Mark Herko from the Sharon Hospital, New Vance Health, during this pandemic that we are experiencing. And just for opening notes, back on March 1st, when this all started and there were no cases and no reported deaths, now in a little under 2 months, 849,000 cases, almost 48,000 deaths. But here's the one slice of good news. 84,000 people have recovered. So it's not quite twice as double as many people recovered that have passed away. But it is an amazing statistic when you look at it and you think that all this has happened in the span of about 45 days. Good morning, Dr. Herko.
Good morning. I know it's kind of mind-boggling. I was speaking. I have four other brothers and sisters, and they're again, bringing up the point, you know, why are we sheltering in place? It's hurting us financially, and this is just the glorified flu. Why are we making this so it's forefront in our way of thinking? And I had explained. I said, look, in a little over 6 weeks, we've had close to 50,000 people die now. I said, if this was the flu, I said it would take the equivalent of 57 weeks. For that similar amount of people to pass away. That just shows you how virulent this virus really is.
And on top of virulent, and I think this is what must have everybody a little scared or anxious in the background, and that is medical professionals, researchers, and especially lay people like myself and other people, is that nobody's really gotten their hands or their minds completely around and figured out exactly how this virus might mutate, how it will react to an antidote, how it reacts. It really is a largely unknown quantity, and there's a lot of brilliant minds working on this at the same time.
Right, and I mean, there's no magic in regard to the time it takes to figure out a new organism. I mean, if you see what happened when HIV came out in the 80s, till this day, there still is no vaccine. And that was 1980-ish it came out. Look at Ebola, how long it took for them to come out with some treatment, let alone a vaccine, which, again, there's no vaccine. They just did. They were using convalescent serum. If you look at H1N1 or SARS, to this day, SARS, which is similar to what this organism is, this is just the second generation of it, they don't have a vaccine to that either. So there's no magic to that. This is hard stuff. One of my microbiology professors in medical school saying, this is tough stuff, and there's no, you can't just take a shortcut here, so we have to slog through it to figure it out.
And one of the things that I really, and I've talked about on the air with various guests about Sharon Hospital, is I remember early on, Sharon Hospital was one of the first hospitals really to limit visitation. I mean, completely limited. And you've managed to keep, even though you've had COVID patients there, you've managed to keep everything under control. And I think what people have to realize, if people can do this in their personal lives and their business lives, this is the one way you can slow the spread of the disease. This is the one proven way to slow the spread of disease, which is social distancing and a simple thing like wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It's a stressful time in March when we made the decision to limit the entrances into our facility to one area, because just knowing what we were hearing, what was going on in New York and what occurred in Asia, all it takes is one person to come in and it will spread like wildfire. And we really had to be careful with that. So by controlling the entrance and exits, by temperature checking everybody, we were able to hopefully limit people or unrecognized people with the infection. And with that, we have been able to actually limit actually employee exposure, which was our main goal.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your COVID-19 experiences with patients and alike. Let's talk about the progression, how the hospital is dealing with it. Are you having a problem with bed space? Basic things like that people in the community would like to know about.
No, what's interesting is because of what's happened, hospital volumes for routine stuff, cardiac patients, heart attacks, gallbladder attacks, all that. Everything is down almost 65 to 70%. So the hospital, other than COVID patients, is essentially empty. And we're seeing that across the system. We're down, emergency room volumes down 60, 65%. Everything is just down. And that's why we're concerned in that once we open up things a little bit, people that have put things off because they didn't want to be contaminated in a hospital or they're afraid of going out, we may see sicker people showing up in the emergency rooms, people that have really bad missed gallbladder issues, missed issues with chronic infections or not following up on their blood thinner counts, all of that. And that's the kind of thing we're trying to prepare for now in this next phase.
Now, let me ask you a question because I'm one of those people. I've had an order that was given to me about 3 weeks ago for a blood test. And due to everything that's been going on, I have not gone in for my blood test. Is that a wise decision or can I come into the hospital for that blood test?
Yeah. Hospitals, in this day and age, I mean, the fear is that, you know, oh boy, I'm going to catch COVID by coming to the facility. You just have to assume that every hospital has a COVID unit. And if you follow the third procedures of wearing a mask, washing your hands, and going to it, you're going to be fine. There's no chance of anybody can get that. But the case in point is for all the patients that have come through here so far that have been COVID positive and over the last 7 weeks, we don't have any employees that are ill with COVID-19. So I guess we're doing a good job in that kind of control. So it should extrapolate patients also.
All right. Well, then I will follow through on that order. I've just been super, yeah, super cautious. Well, simply because, you know, when you talk about the age categories, it has to be, I'm 67, I'm overweight, and mm-hmm. I also had bronchitis when I was a kid, so I have scarred lung tissue. So I have been even more vigilant than most people would be, simply because I have three maladies that I have that really makes me a prime target. So, but it's good to know that I can get that test, and I won't have my doctor yell at me anymore because.
You know what's going to happen is this virus, since there's not going to be any vaccine anytime soon, and less than 2% or 1% of the population has been exposed, and less than 2% has been tested. If you really go over the numbers, this is going to be here 12 to 18 months. You can't put off health care or routine follow up over that time period because that's where the danger. Well, we have to accept that reality that it's here, and we have to follow these standard precautions and deal with things. That's the thing that we're trying to do now. We're configuring the hospital to the point where we'll have a permanent COVID unit because you don't know when it's going to flare up, and we're going to keep the tent here that we have for the near future, just on the off chance that if things ever would flare up, we're ready to go. And then we're now slowly trying to go over the next few weeks when we're allowed per state recommendations, to start doing elective procedures and all that kind of stuff again. Slowly but surely, we'll start getting stronger.
I was going to say that, regular business people like us, we have been affected drastically by the amount of donations and by the amount of underwriting we have. And, of course, local businesses are closed. But this is also an unexpected financial hit on the hospital, is it not?
Oh yes, and that's why I look closely when you hear about the cities and the state governments being part of some of these bailouts because a reckoning will be coming, and I can't unless things are allotted correctly from the government through the states and then actually to the different hospitals. I think you're going to be surprised that essentially every health system is going to show such a deficit. A lot of ones, this is, you heard the government yesterday talking about, just declare bankruptcy. I mean, you can't afford to have all the frontline hospitals declare bankruptcy. It's that tight. We were running such very, very tight margins to begin with. And now add this added expense, increased use of staffing and all that with decreased amount of revenue. I mean, just to do the math. So it's very, very tight, and it's ominous, and that's why we're waiting to hear exactly how much monies will be allotted to help all of us out, because it's not going to be pretty when we have to file our year-end issues in October.
Well, we're speaking with Dr. Mark Herko from the Sharon Hospital, New Vance Health. Any final comments to people that are listening right now about COVID-19 and about Sharon Hospital and in the community?
Sure. I mean, at this point, we really appreciate, we appreciate the community's outreach to us. We're getting to the point where we have units sometimes vying for the food that gets dropped off anonymously. So we really appreciate that. And just the outpouring of recognition for the employees who really have stepped up and helped us. Second, the state has given us full occupancy of the tent that we have here if we would ever need it. We are not using it right now. But if you look at the forecast that the government's been talking about, you know, spikes occurring in autumn and winter, stuff like that, my guess is all the tents will be left in a dormant phase here for the near and far future, just in case. And finally, we really want everybody to know that the COVID-19 will be around. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to disappear. And it's going to be part of our daily lives now. So we have to really get used to the social distancing, wearing the masks, and just washing our hands throughout the remaining for the near future for our lives, and just know that that's just going to be the new normal.
Well, once again, we're very lucky to have Sharon Hospital in our immediate area, and very lucky to have a 5-star hospital, by the way, in our area, serving our area. And we'll speak to you, obviously, again in another couple of weeks, Mark. Just pass along our best to everybody at the hospital for the great job that they're doing and the administration, and keep up the good work.
Well, we really appreciate it, and thank you for your support.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Dr. Mark Herko, Sharon Hospital, with that update here on Robin Hood Radio.